Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. Well, it's Friday, and like we do every Friday, we bring in attorney Keith Figure to the Figured Law Group to have the Do I Have a Case segment. Keith, thanks for joining us today.
How you doing, Rob? I'm here. I'm kind of stuck in this storm, so hopefully I don't get cut out or anything. It's coming down pretty hard here. My phone was cutting out a little bit earlier, but I should be good.
All right. So let's get right to the first question, though, and it's I don't agree with my union's political stances and support using my union dues. I inquired about leaving the union in response to my union representative said I would lose all protections and would not receive the same pay benefits in the future. They also went on to tell other union members that I was a scab. What's my rights and do I have recourse for this harassment?
All right. So specifically when you are in a union, your rights, particularly with leaving the union. The right to refrain from union activity, there's a number of sections. I don't want to get into too much detail, but under these different sections labeled as specifically there's a Section 7 of the NLRA, which is a private sector. Employees have the right to refrain from any or all union activities, including membership without reprisal. And what that means is you can choose not to join or to resign from a union, and your employer and union cannot legally retaliate against you for that decision. Now, union security agreements and right to work states. So in states without right to work laws, unions and employers can negotiate union security agreements requiring all employees in a bargaining unit to pay union dues or fees. However, in right to work states, there's 27 states, which is including Pennsylvania, you cannot be compelled to join a union or pay any dues, even if you're covered by a union contract. You can check your, if you have a, if it's a different state than Pennsylvania or you're not sure, you can check your state to see if you are in a right to work state. But that's the difference between, and that's what a lot of people probably heard that term before, is the right to work. So basically what that applies to is your ability not to be forced to pay those dues. Now, as far as the impact on pay and benefits, your union's representative claims that you'd lose all protection and pay benefits is misleading or inaccurate, as it depends on your workplace. So union contract coverage, union contracts typically cover all employees in the bargaining unit, whether you're a union member or not. And I actually deal with this a lot. In fact, some of the individuals that I represent, when you get into certain positions, like of a, whether it be supervisory or other, they might not fall under the union that the rest of the employees do. However, even though they're not in the union, they still have a lot of the same rights under that contract, albeit they don't necessarily fall or pay those dues. Now, in terms of the employer's actions, your employer cannot legally reduce your pay or benefits for opting out of the union, as that would violate another section, which would be Section 8A3 of the NLRA, which prohibits discrimination based on union activity or lack thereof. So if your employer threatens or implements such changes, you could file an unfair labor practice, ULP charge, with the National Labor Relations Board. Union misrepresentation, if the union representative is exaggerating or misrepresenting the consequences of leaving, claiming you'll lose all protections when you won't, this can be coercive and potentially violate the NLRA's prohibition of restraining employees' rights to refrain from union activity. Now, resigning from the union, you can resign from the union at any time, but check your union's bylaws or constitution for the procedural requirements, because that's going to usually determine how you do that, because at the end of the day, it is a contract, and you have to follow the requirements as they're contained within that contract. Now, if you're a non-right-to-work state with a union security agreement, you may need to notify the union in writing of your intent to become a what's called a BEC objector to reduce dues to core representation costs. So I'm not going to get too much into that. That's just a little bit of knowledge and to compare to the difference from a non-right-to-work state and a right-to-work state. Now, in terms of recourse for harassment, being called a scab, the union representative's actions of calling you a scab to other members could constitute harassment or retaliation depending on the context and severity. NLRA protects against union coercion. So under the NLRA, unions are prohibited from restraining or coercing employees in the exercise of their Section 7 rights, including the right to refrain from union activity. Labeling the individual as a scab for worrying about leaving the union could be seen as coercive if it is intended to intimidate or punish the person for exercising the right to resign. Now, if the harassment creates a hostile work environment or interferes with the ability to work, it may also violate work policies under Title 7 of the Civil Rights Act if harassment involves protected characteristics like race or sex. However, I think this may more fall underline is a hostile work environment. You don't need to have those additional protected classes. It could also fall under workers' compensation. The problem is, and why these cases don't go far, is that even though there may be the initial harassment or let me just explain in terms of workers' comp. So for a hostile worker environment in comp, it almost has to happen over a duration of a year, and it has to come from a person in a supervisory capacity. But not only do you have to have that occur, you have to have it affect you to the point where you have a psychological disability and you're unable to work. And then one other thing I'll get into here is under the hostile work environment, or if you were to pursue these, aside from these actions, you can also pursue under, I believe, the PHRC or EEOC to the extent that there was a hostile or other work issue. Let's see here. So the bottom line is, if you have these issues, there's a lot more to go through on this. I mean, I could probably take up the whole rest of the show just on this one question. But the bottom line is that if it happens, the best thing to do is just make sure you document everything, set up an appointment with an attorney. So this way you can sit down and have a discussion and see what your recourse is. And a lot of times you want to do that early, because a lot of these causes of action require you to exhaust all of the other remedies that may be available to you through the employer. And if you fail to do that, or if you voluntarily leave, or you take any other action without speaking with an attorney, you can very easily waive if there is any claim for you to pursue. So again, the best advice I can give for this, if you find yourself in this situation, the best thing is to reach out to an attorney that deals with these issues so that they can properly guide you along the way to, if it is ongoing, to preserve the evidence so that you're actually going to prevail if you file a case later on, or to at least help posture you so you're in a position to possibly resolve it and not have to file suit.
All right. Pretty in-depth answer there, Keith. On to the next question now. I've contacted the utility company about dead trees near the power lines on my block, stating when the storm comes, it'll knock out power when they fall. Well, they fell, and I've not only lost power, but due to the length of time, lost the food in my deep freezer that costs hundreds of dollars. Do I have a case?
All right. So in this particular case, starting with the utility company's duty of negligence, so duty of care. Under utility companies are generally responsible for maintaining power lines and ensuring they are safe, which includes managing vegetation like dead trees or which are near power lines to prevent outages or safety hazards. There's actually the National Electric Safety Code, NESC, which requires utilities to trim or remove trees and branches near power lines to prevent damages or outages. Notice of the issue, as was indicated, so they stated that they contacted the utility company about the dead trees before the storm. If they can prove that they provided clear notice of the hazard, e.g., you know, for example, written communication or recorded phone call, well, you got to be careful to record a phone call unless they're aware of it, or service request, and the utility failed to act within the reasonable time frame, that could most definitely strengthen the case. Courts often require evidence that the utility had actual knowledge of a problem and failed to address it. Now, in terms of the recorded phone call, the reason I think they include that in there is because a lot of times when you talk to these companies, when you call them, they say this call is being recorded. You cannot record them, as that would be a felony. So unless you give them consent, you don't want to be recording people, because that's an actual crime. Now, negligence standard. Most utility companies are shielded from liability for outages caused by acts of God, which would be a storm, or ordinary negligence as outlined in their tariff books. But to hold the utility liable, you typically need to show gross negligence or willful misconduct. So gross negligence might involve reckless disregard for a known hazard, such as failing to address dead trees after being notified. So there's a fine line there, and you know, to be honest with you, there's no way to tell, well, is this going to meet the standard or not. At the end of the day, if this is a case, whether it go before a judge or a jury, based on the evidence, you know, they can either come down either way, but it's going to come down to, I think, in this particular case, if they can prove, and I think this kind of stems similar to when we were talking about the potholes, different types of injuries when it involves a municipality, is that they have to have written notice of the defect and a reasonable time to correct it. I think that same standard's going to apply here. If they can, they, you know, if there wasn't a reasonable time to correct it, then they're still not going to be held liable. Now, as far as causation and damages, they would need to prove that the power outage was directly caused by the utility's failure to address the dead trees, meaning that it wasn't caused by the storm or some other means. It's similar to when you have a medical malpractice case. If a doctor misses, say, you know, a diagnosis, if they miss the diagnosis and there's no harm, there's no recourse, especially if the underlying illness is what is responsible for the ongoing injury or limitations. Well, it's the same thing here. If they can't prove that it was the tree that was the specific cause for the power outage, then again, they're not going to be able to meet their case. In terms of damages, so the lost food in the deep freezer, which they estimated the cost at hundreds of dollars, they would need to document those losses with an itemized list of the spoiled food, including receipts, estimate values, and so forth. But to be honest with you, I think the best recourse, and I don't know, and again, it might be excluded again, because if it's a storm under your homeowner's policy, I mean, that's another avenue that you would have, but you would have to see if that's something that would be covered. Because to be honest, if you try to pursue a claim like this, and you're only talking about $100 and some out of pocket, I honestly don't know how you would pursue a claim against them without spending probably, I mean, tenfold or more to try to pursue that claim. And I think that would be the other obstacle of trying to pursue something when your damages are so limited. And then, of course, to the homeowners, depending on what your deductible, if your deductible is more, it might not even cover it. But this is another situation where I think, you know, you want to find an attorney that's not going to charge you for a consultation, that you can come in, sit down, have a discussion, See if there is anything to pursue. I don't think the utility company is just going to say, okay, here's your money. I think the more likelihood of recourse is going to occur if you have potentially a claim against your homeowners or some other insurance. And then if not from there, I think it's going to be something, even if you had a right to pursue, it'd be fairly difficult. Now, if, you know, God forbid there was a severe injury or something that happened, that would change the circumstance altogether because now you have significant damages. But in a scenario where you have limited damages, I think it makes your options also limited.
All right, Keith, if someone wants to get in touch with you further with a question or situation that they don't want made public, how can they do that?
Well, they can contact me directly either through my website at figuredlaw.com. They can pretty much send an inquiry through there 24 hours a day. Email at keith@figuredlaw, and then my direct dial, which is 570-954-9299.
All right, and if you want a question featured on a segment of Do I Have a Case, you can email me here at the station at rob.odonnell@odyssey.com. Keith, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. I hope you and your listeners have a nice weekend.
You too as well. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 5:23, 57 degrees on this Friday, October 17th, 2025. And it's always good when we can bring our congressman, Rob Bresnahan from Pennsylvania, 8th Congressional District, to give us an update on what's going on in Washington. Congressman.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
How are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm doing well. Appreciate you finding a minute to get us on here. And just thought it would be good to have a dialogue as we move through this shutdown. It seems like every day there is something new. But it's been, the last time I called in was on shutdown eve. And unfortunately, we still cannot get this thing through the Senate, and I'm very happy to, you know, report that both Pennsylvania senators, Senator John Fetterman and Senator McCormick, both voted to keep the government open, and the House did what we were supposed to do. We passed it in bipartisan form, but I'll tell you, we did a telephone town hall the other night. We had over 13,000 people on, and there was great dialogue, great questions. But please continue to reach out to our office, to the listeners, to our constituents, if there are things that we could be helpful with. Unfortunately, the first week during the shutdown, the agencies were still responding. And I'll tell you that there has been an increase in delay with the various different offices of legislative affairs getting back to us. So, but keep our doors are open. We are, everyone on our team is essential, and we are here to help.
I've noticed on your social media that there's been a, shutdown or not, there's been a plethora of activity coming from you. You have the No Taxation Without Operation Act.
Yeah.
There's been a bunch of things. You have the Pay Your Homeland Defenders Act that you're a co-sponsor of. The Aviation Funding Stability Act. The Prevent Government Shutdowns. Can you tell us about these things that you're getting involved with?
I mean, I think these are all very practical, common sense legislative ideas. I mean, first and foremost, members of Congress, while the government is not governing, should not be receiving a paycheck. It is as simple as that. I was one of the first members to reach out to the GAO and defer my paycheck, even though my paycheck goes to various different nonprofits and the foundation that Chelsea and I have been working on. But it's not responsible. First and foremost, we have a responsibility to legislate. We have a responsibility to govern. And no elected members of Congress, both in the House or the Senate, should be receiving compensation while the government does not have its lights turned on. Obviously, our air traffic controllers, our TSA agents, our federal workers. We have 10,000 federal workers in Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District. We are the second highest congressional district in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We have Tobian Army Depot. We have Social Security Administration. We have the International Airport. We have our Canaan, our Federal Bureau of Prisons. I mean, these are all people right now working without pay. And like you and I were talking the last time that, you know, people have auto pays. They're paying their car loan. They're paying their rent. They're paying their utilities. They have home insurance. I mean, these are all things that are being taken out of their checking accounts or they are still responsible to pay for. And, you know, you're looking at the WIC program. That's about to expire. We just got notified today that SNAP is in jeopardy of having a pause to nearly 2 million Pennsylvanians. So we have to govern. Obviously, talking about the insurance premiums, the Affordable Care Act premiums, we need to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We need to be able to turn the lights back on at the government and get back to work and figure out a way to prevent health insurance premiums from increasing over 80% to the average Pennsylvanian in Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District. So paying our Border Patrol, paying our air traffic controllers, paying our troops. I mean, these are just fundamental responsibilities of government.
And I did see that you were up visiting our air traffic controllers here at our local just the other day, talking directly to them.
Yeah, we got to see the TSA at the airport as we were coming home from Washington on yesterday. And you know what? They do an incredible job. I see them, you know, usually once a week when I'm, you know, if I'm flying, taking the 3 o'clock or the 10 o'clock United back to Washington. But they're incredible. I mean, they are still showing up, providing service with a smile. And they're not receiving a paycheck. And it's people like them across the entire United States right now. And something that was really reassuring during our telephone town hall, we had an air traffic controller actually call and ask a question. And it was a few questions right after someone asked, is it safe to fly? And our air traffic controllers, I visited the air traffic control tower a few months ago, as I said on the aviation subcommittee, and they are so dedicated and just incredible people. And he actually validated firsthand that the skies are safe. The air traffic controllers take their job incredibly serious, and they do an amazing job keeping our skies safe. So Unfortunately, they will continue to show up. Fortunately or unfortunately, they will continue to show up and work every single day with the utmost level of professionalism. But these are the people moving almost 3 million people a day on 45,000 flights that are not receiving compensation. And it's just not fair.
Being you sit on the Transportation Subcommittee for Aviation, this incident that happened at Harrisburg International Airport that also happened in a Canadian British Columbia where, you know, somebody hacked into their PA and television system. Have you heard any update on that?
I have not, but it's terrifying. And I'm still trying to read between the lines if it was more the airport itself through the general terminal, like inside of the sterile areas, or if it had any affiliation with the actual air traffic control itself. From what I understand, it was more terminal specific. But obviously we have had our challenges with air traffic control. And here's something else. On October 27th, the Academy for Air Traffic Controllers will run out of funding. They are running and operating on the last appropriated budget. So we're talking about the pipeline and needing new air traffic controllers into our systems. And the Academy is going to need to pull these students out of the towers, out of the TRACONs, out of the areas, because they are not going to have the funding to continue that training. And we see the shortages. We see the demand. It is an extremely stressful job, but they do an incredible job. And we need to continue to have that pipeline funded for the next best and brightest generation of air traffic controllers. So there is going to be a pinch point here. And I, you know, there are issues that we can legislate, that we can have debate on, but holding the government hostage and the American people ransom is certainly not the answer. We need to open the government back up, get back to work, and figure out what we can do. I'm one of the original co-sponsors on the only bipartisan bill relevant to the Affordable Care Act extension of the premium credits. And it's a starting point. There's been some dialogues, but we need to get back together and figure out a solution.
And again, the congressional Republicans in the House have passed a clean CR, which has been passed by the Democrats multitude of times under the Biden administration. CRs seem to be the way the House has operated, which is something else. But the Senate Democrats are looking at a $1.4 trillion addition in their CR, and hence that's where we're here, where we are today.
And I think it's also important, Rob, to point out the math of what's happening inside of the Senate. We need 60 votes. Something I hear, well, Republicans have the Senate, Republicans have the House, Republicans have the presidency. But it still requires a 60-vote threshold inside of the Senate. And there's 53 Republicans. So you need to have moderate Democrats like Senator John Fetterman to vote for this, so we can get it across the finish line and ultimately reopen the government.
And then look at bills like yours, this bipartisan bill that further extends the enhanced premium tax credits for the Affordable Care Act.
And I think there's a lot of work to be done on health care. There is no contesting that. And perhaps there's income caps. Perhaps there is a runway so we can put more permanent solutions in place. But right now, we just cannot have a shock and, you know, see 135% increase in premiums. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And this is a marker to try to bring people together. This is a Republican bill and a Democrat bill. It's 13 Dems, 13 Rs. And let's get together. Let's figure out what's palatable here and start governing for the American people.
Again, we're speaking to Congressman Rob Bresnahan, Pennsylvania 8th Congressional District. Give us an update on what's going on in Washington and his office. Congressman, as always, thank you for giving us an update.
Rob, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. It is 5:33, almost 5:34 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Well, we got the sad news the other day that Ace Frehley, the original lead guitarist and founding member of the band Kiss, who captivated audiences with his elaborate makeup and smoke-filled guitar, has passed this past Thursday. He was 74 years old. He died peacefully surrounded by his family in Morristown, New Jersey, following a recent fall and a brain aneurysm, according to his agent. Family members said in a statement that they are completely devastated and heartbroken, but will cherish his laughter and celebrate the kindness he bestowed on others. So a real loss to the music world, rock and roll legend. Jake, were you ever a Kiss fan?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, how do you not? They're most probably the most recognizable band.
I had to play one of his hits, though, New York Groove. Detroit Rock City is probably my favorite one.
Yeah, there you go. I never had the opportunity or honor to meet Ace Frehley. I did meet Gene Simmons. First time I met Gene Simmons was at about 2 o'clock in the morning, probably 73rd or 74th Street in Broadway in New York City. I was working an 8 at night to 4 in the morning tour in uniform. And I was walking from the 72nd Street and Broadway subway station. And I was walking north to get something to eat. Again, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere about there. And I see this tall gentleman with the hair and this pretty blonde woman walking next to him right towards me. And as he's walking towards me, I'm like, that's the guy from Kiss. Like, that's Gene Simmons. And I'm thinking this to myself. And as we get closer, and we're walking right at each other. And he looked at me and he nodded his head and he said, thank you, officer. And I just nodded my head and looked at him and I gave him a thumbs up. Didn't say two words to him and just kept walking, and he kept walking his way, and I turned around, looked back. And that was my first dealing with Gene Simmons. I ended up meeting him a couple of years later and you know, talked about, obviously he didn't remember it, but you know, another person who you see on the street and you can't really miss them. So, you know, again, our condolences to the family and fans of Kiss and Ace Frehley on his loss. It truly is a loss, especially for my generation, you know, having grown up during that. So it's 5:41 here at WILK. Let me tell you about my friends at Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Listen, when I looked for a ductless split air system for my house, I had three criteria. I wanted a local business, a family-run business, and a business that uses top-of-the-line equipment. And Monk Heating and Air Conditioning, they checked all those boxes. I got a brand new Mitsubishi electric heat pump system installed where comfort is their business. I woke up this morning and we had that frost, a real hard frost up by me. The grass was even frozen. Wasn't just the roof and the cars. She was running our Mitsubishi split air heat pump system. And I remember talking to some people and talking to Rob Monk when he came up. And I ended up going to AI, and I was looking at, you know, I have a propane fireplace too. And I'm like, why didn't you crack the fireplace on? She's like, well, I keep hearing that the split air system is more energy efficient. And I looked at it and I looked at what we pay per gallon for propane. And I added our kilowatt electric bill per kilowatt rate. Do you know my Mitsubishi split air system is half the cost of what it cost to run my propane fireplace? No electricity on my propane fireplace, just the cost of propane coming out of the fireplace and burning is double what it cost me to run my Mitsubishi electric heat pump system. So, yeah, it says it all right there. So now we kick that on instead of the propane fireplace. If we want the aesthetics, you know, we put the propane fireplace on. But if you just want heat in the morning, instant, you click it on, it's on. They are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractors over at Monk. They're also trained premier comfort specialists. So give them a call or check them out online at monkhvac.com. That's monkhvac.com for all your HVAC, heating, and air conditioning needs. And tell them I sent you. Welcome back. As we start to close down the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Friday, October 17th, got a couple text messages in saying it was great to hear some Kiss songs. So we gave you another, huh? It's 5:48 here, 54 degrees. So, you know, we started off the show, so we'll end off with it today. Yesterday was the, right after our show, it started at 6 o'clock, was the Scranton mayoral debate. And if you live in Scranton, you work in Scranton, you're a taxpayer in Scranton, you visit Scranton, if you have anything to do in politics in our area, I would highly recommend you go over to ECTV on YouTube and you watch the debate. It's just over an hour long, just about an hour. So it's really not going to take a lot of your time. If not, I could break it down for you. My take on the Scranton mayor's debate was it was anticlimactic. The pro-Palestinian demonstrator and Rick Little, who was an independent candidate running for mayor, were entertaining. The mayor has a problem with facts. Trish Barrett and No, I'm sorry. Gene Barrett and Trish Bynum left a multitude of opportunities on the table, some low-hanging curveballs that they really could have knocked out of the park. But again, their first debates, I understand the nervousness. Was telling that the only one who went low and negative with personal attacks was the incumbent mayor, Mayor Cognetti. She's the only one who had to stoop to personal negative attacks, and she did it in her closing 2 minutes. So instead of saying, hey, this is what I've done, this is my record, this is what we still need to do, no, she decided to take personal attacks at her opponents that were really unnecessary and really were kind of half-truths to begin with. So who knows if that's coming from her Pitbull comms director, Wendy Wilson, that kind of pushed her in that direction. It was unlike her to get nasty like that for no reason, because she wasn't attacked. But I do have a problem with some of the things she stated at that. And I'll play some of them for you, and we can break some of them down.
They need to solve crimes and solve crimes quickly. I always say...
There you go.
Sure. Policing is, of course, one of the most important issues that any mayor faces. We have invested millions and millions of dollars into our police technology and training to make sure that our officers have what they need to keep us safe, have what they need to solve crimes and solve crimes quickly. I always say, don't commit a crime at all. But if you do it, definitely don't do it in Scranton, because we will find you. We have been able to increase the number of cameras, the number of license plate readers, and, of course, even the number of police officers that we...
So that's what she said during the debate, but a little check of the Scranton Police Department budget over the past 6 years doesn't tell that story. The budget has only increased 4.9% from 2019 to 2025, but the mayor has invested millions and millions of dollars in the Scranton Police Department. I just don't see where that is unless she's spending it on other things and saying it's for the police department. So... you know, there are some things there and here
where the people up here with me are getting their crime stats. We do not have an increase in crime. We have an extraordinary record of combating crime here in Scranton and an incredible police department that we support fully and continue to add to. The tools, the technology, and the training that we have are above all from about 100 miles from here and even more. The technology we have with our Axon body cams, you won't find until you get to Baltimore, Maryland. So...
Yeah, the technology they have and the equipment they have is real great. But to say that crime is not up in Scranton is just not true. Crime is up from 2023 to 2024 in 6 of the 9 major categories. Crime is up 133% in murder. Crime is up 5.8% for rape. Crime is up 9.1% for robbery. Now, crime is down for felony assault by 20.4%, but crime is up for simple assault, misdemeanor assault, by 12.9%. Crime for burglary is down 16.6%, and crime for theft is down at 4.3%. But crime for motor vehicle theft is up 16.5%, and crime for arson is up 18.2%. So the fact to say that crime is down in the city is not true. And if you look at 2025 to date, because we only have 9.5 months of 2025 of data to show, if the patterns in 2025 continue, crime is on the same path to hit the same numbers as 2024, except for arson. Arson appears it'll be under, but with 2.5 months left to go and Halloween and the holidays where there is a lot of fires, be it arson or not. And again, arson is an intentional criminal act of fire, not an accidental fire. We'll see. But again, even if it matches 2024 numbers, which is on path to do, and of course the numbers are lower now because you still have 2.5 months of the year left, but it's on path to match 2024, which is again higher than 2023. So that was one of the other things that was said at this debate that just did not match reality. And then you had the pro-Palestinian protesters.
For people, if you want to be in law enforcement, you're going to want to be an officer in the Scranton Police Department. I'm not.
Yes, a war machine by freeing Palestine. Oh. Over 100,000 people killed in 2 years of genocide. You said you'd page against the machine, but you know what? Over 100,000 people killed.
Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
Dollars given to Israel because our infrastructure sucks. Our tens of thousands of children? Will you be a public leader with a backbone and call this a genocide and say, I reject AIPAC money. I reject military industrial complex money. I will be a person of...
It was interesting that the pro-Palestinian Yahoo that was in the audience that disrupted this event, that should have been thrown out more rapidly, but was eventually thrown out and they got back to the debate. It was interesting that he chose for Mayor Paige Cognetti. He skipped two of the candidates and waited for Mayor Paige Cognetti to speak before he started his rant and yelling. Is it because she was with Bob Casey and Governor Shapiro and such when they went to the bomb factory and signed the bombs there, if you remember that? Or maybe so. If not, it was interesting because Paige Cognetti is probably one of the most progressive liberal candidates. Well, definitely the most progressive liberal we have on that stage, but probably in that position for mayor as well. So it was interesting that they targeted there. One of the other things that the mayor said that is her administration has produced 1,000 more residences, not residents, residences. So apartments, housing, places to live in Scranton during her tenure. But yet under her tenure, the population of Scranton has decreased. So the math just is not mathing there. And maybe they could prove me wrong. Maybe they could say, well, here's the 1,000 places to live to make Scranton more affordable that we've produced for our city, and here they are. But then how did your population go down, especially when your average residence has 3 people in it? That should be an increase of 3,000 residents, not a loss of almost 800. So, again, the math wasn't mathing there, and it's disingenuous. You know, she touted these things. I just played for you the audio, and the facts just aren't there. So I encourage anyone who has anything to do with Scranton, especially taxpayers who live there, to watch this debate and ask questions, because a lot of the things that were said were not supported by what's true. It's 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show in a minute. Well, that's it for us here on the Rob O'Donnell Show today. What I did leave out of the last segment is the Fraternal Order of Police, the union which represents the men and women of the Scranton Police Department, have endorsed Gene Barrett, another candidate, not the incumbent mayor. So that tells you a lot about the support the mayor has with her own police department when they support another candidate looking for true leadership. And that was overwhelming support from their membership for that endorsement. So that says a lot. And you talk about the other unions, the DPW unions who are in arbitration because there's been stalls costing the taxpayers of Scranton thousands of dollars in their union contract talk. Plus, they're without a leader. There's no director of DPW for, 8 months now? So it just goes to show that you can talk and smile all you want, but poor leadership is poor leadership. It is coming up on 6 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. Enjoy your weekend. Hang out with your loved ones. Appreciate your friends. And have a great couple of days off. See you on Monday. God bless.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.